Hey there, everybody. Good Saturday. I'm your host, Matthew Smith, for the Gavel Down podcast, and I'm here with my guest,
Darren Navarez. How you doing? With the Darren Debates and Fast Times with Darren.
All right. And today we're going to be going over the court case of Roe v. Wade for my show, Gavel Down. So let's go ahead and just kind of hop into the facts of the case. So in the 1960s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the 1960s, the petitioner Roe sued the district attorney there, Wade, for the right to have an abortion, claiming that in Dallas County, the laws of limiting abortions, and unless it was to protect the life of the mother, was unconstitutional under the 4th, 5th, 9th,
14th Amendment also, right?
Mainly the 14th, but they used a slew of the Bill of Rights,
yeah.
Like 4th, 5th, 9th, 10th, 11th.
Discussed about privacy and about, what else was it?
I think the words they used was substantive.
Substance.
Substantive due process.
Yeah, okay.
So, what happened was, is after they got to the Supreme Court, the Burger Court essentially read it, and they decided that it was unconstitutional for a state to limit abortions pretty much within the first two trimesters, claiming that this was a violation of a woman's privacy, particularly under the 14th Amendment, because the other amendments were incorporated under the 14th and one, and the 14th Amendment gave them a right to certain due process and rights, privileges, and immunities.
Yeah, and it would be at no fault of the doctors or the patient.
Right. So those are the pretty simple facts of the case. You can find a lot of different versions, a lot of different recorded histories of the case online. It's a very controversial and important case in the U.S. history. So let's go ahead and get more into the arguments. I know that's what Darren's specialty is, and we'll talk more about that. So I'll let you go first. What do you think about the court case?
What do I think about the court case? I think it would help with abortion is going to happen. It happened before the court case. It is going to happen after the court, Now it's and then we have to define what is the safety of an abortion, right? So that comes down to the point of, is it safe for the mother? Is it safe for the doctor to actually perform? And there is potentially another life within the womb. But then it comes down to, is that her, that's her choice of doing it? And it also comes down to, is it murder? Like, is that an actual human life, or is that murder? And that's where we see the conflicting ideals of abortion. That's why the pro-life and the pro-choice movements kind of differ. That if that is a life, is that protected by our Constitution, or is that protected by the mother's right to choose? I think it's moving right.
Yeah.
What else is going on? So my personal thing about it is, I don't think the state should have any really say in anything, because it does come down to what the doctor decides, what the patient decides, and what because a lot of patients that go through abortion, they have remorse, they have grief, they have other things that I think that we should actually dive into as a society and fix some of those things. But also people that do give their kids up for adoption too, the same way as most pro-life people suggest, besides, you know, raising a kid. That delves into, again, there is remorse and there is grief that goes with it, like as giving up your kid essentially, because that kid will never be in your life.
Not necessarily. There are adoptive parents instead of visitation. I don't know how rare it is.
But yeah, but that's pretty foster care.
Sure, but I have friends that have been in foster care.
I've had people live with me for foster care.
Yeah.
And you're the conservative, you're the pro-life argument?
Yeah, I'm going to go into my more legal argument, and then I'll probably delve into the pro-life argument a little bit. Because this show is more about the legal arguments. I'm letting you do whatever argument you want, because we talk about the issues and the arguments about the issues themselves sometimes. But for me particularly, I want to talk about the constitutional argument about Roe v. Wade, because I don't think enough people know it from the sort of Scalia standpoint.
Do you know the ruling? Was it 7-2?
Yeah.
It was 7-2.
Okay.
which is, that's a pretty big margin for people that were, you know,
yeah,
for it.
I think it was like Ryan Questone and Judge White.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Were the that was standouts. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Sorry, I interrupted.
So anyway, so as for the my constitutional argument is fairly simple. Okay. So the idea that there is a substantive due process, right? That there are certain rights and privileges that, whether they're mentioned in the Constitution or not, are so inherent that there's no amount of due process that can, you know, take away those rights or really define those rights. I don't think that's really true. Unless they're listed in the Constitution already, or we list them through an amendment. If there was an amendment that said abortion should be legal, then yeah, then it's a moot point. But
general welfare of the people?
Hmm?
General welfare of the people?
That's in the preamble, but general welfare can mean a lot of different things. What I think is the best rule in general for a more happy society, a society that's more satisfied with this, is we leave it up to the states like it was before Roe v. Wade. I think Roe v. Wade took it out of the hands of the democratic process, because before Roe v. Wade, there were states that had abortions, and there were states that didn't have abortions. And it's not hard to go to a different state. It's really not. So this idea that Texas or that Georgia or that South Carolina, who majority are pro-life, have to allow abortions in their state, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's due process at all. I think that's the federal government cramming down on states' rights. Because I don't think it's within the Constitution that abortion is guaranteed. I don't think it is. I've never seen anything close to it. And this right to privacy that they're talking about, yes, there is sort of a right to privacy in terms of searches and seizures, but you're not seizing anybody by making in your state not to have abortions. And even then, in those states, yes, I agree. Maybe, not even maybe, there should be an exception, especially for when it endangers the life of the mother. Because that is, at that point, you know, saving a life. That goes with general welfare.
Maybe you'll believe that, yeah.
Yeah. But when it comes to, it's a child, there's no real external factors, which in most abortions there isn't, then abortion should be allowed, states should be allowed to make that type of abortion illegal in their state. And they should also be allowed to have it legal in their state on the constitutional argument. Now on the pro-life argument, which I believe in, I've heard someone once say they have the same stance as me, but they count this as pro-choice actually. But essentially, I believe that unless it is endangering the life of the mother, or it's a case of, usually a case of rape. I go back and forth on that one, because my thing is, the life of a child who is the product of rape any less valuable than the average child?
Yeah.
It's not their fault. But I'm willing to make the exception for that one because it's such a low amount of times, and because at that point, it's one of the hardest choices there is. Like, you can't, at that point, it's not just an inconvenience matter. It's truly like, how do you find justice for that mother at that point?
Yeah.
Do they have to be able to completely reset the clock?
I mean,
at least on that kind of thing.
I mean, I've busted that thing. Like, a lot of people that have abortion, they do feel a type of
grief.
Grief. Like, not, I was to guilt, but not even, sometimes guilt. It's also grief.
Guilt, grief, remorse.
Remorse. And it's just, survivor's guilt. That's what it's called. Yeah, I think so. Where it's just like, I survived, and the child didn't. And mm-hmm. I think we do need to explain this a lot more, like, in depth as, like, a society. We need to have consultations and stuff like that to actually promote this more. Promote what the risks are with everything else. Does Planned Parenthood do that well? I'll be honest, no. Probably not.
No, I think most people hate Planned Parenthood at this point.
I
mean, you can, it doesn't matter what you think about abortion. Planned Parenthood takes government money to do a service that a lot of people in the country don't like.
And, a lot of
that, and that goes against both libertarian arguments like yours and conservatives like mine.
Which, some people also do like it eventually because it's, if you pay for it, you can do it, right? And also if you...
Yeah, but it's still not free, you know?
Oh, yeah. But
I think it's kind of a scam, honestly. I think they've tricked the people into thinking that they're some kind of charity when they're not.
I mean, they're not a charity, though.
Yeah, but they're a 501c3.
That's true. But,
yeah. And then they turn a profit. They talk about how they sell body parts for profit for research.
Like stem cells?
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. Not even just stem cells. They talk about how they sell fetal body parts. It's still for experimentation, but which is, like, I mean, have you heard the like hot mites on them?
Yes. Which is, I'm not gonna lie,
it's pretty bad.
Could be dubious. No, I mean, I'm saying it could be a little dubious.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, where's the longevity of this? So we talk about the arguments. I mean, and then also the big pro-choice thing would be have abortion for most people. For most abortions, they only happen within the first two trimesters. Right. Almost no one supports a third trimester abortion. Very few people. For third trimester?
A lot of states do anyway.
It mostly doesn't happen within third trimester. It happens in the second. Statistically, it happens within.
But I don't think it should be able to happen.
I mean, that's what the states typically.
Like I said, those exceptions. But there's a lot of states recently that have made it where it is possible to be in the third trimester. And in doing so, they've actually made it a lot harder to prosecute people who lead to miscarriages. So, like, if a man beats his wife and leads to a miscarriage, they can't prosecute anymore in, like, New York. Because now in New York, that's not a child, it's just a fetus. It doesn't matter. It's just a couple of cells. Even though it's about to be born in, like, a week, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I should have a strong point on this since I was a premature event, so. Yeah, I was born with, a month before I was supposed to be born?
I was born a few weeks before.
Yeah, I was also circumcised. This was my body.
Yeah, mine was pretty small, too. It was like did you have to be in the incubator thing?
Dude, yeah, no, I was tubed up because I was going to breathe.
Yeah, mine wasn't. I was in the incubator. My brother was tubed up because he got choked by the umbilical.
Yeah, you'd say. But again, it comes to the point of, do we recognize that as a human or potential as a human, or do we recognize it as cells? Do we recognize it as?
Well, that's true in the moral argument, but in the constitutional argument.
No, it could be a constitutional argument because it depends on if it's human, it might have human rights.
Well, specifically in the right to privacy argument, though.
Okay. Yes.
I don't think you have an inherent federal right to blanket privacy on everything you do.
Especially since we got other privacy laws that have been, I would say, recently got piled, dug up a little bit from the internet research or the internet.
Right.
Privacy is being very much abused. Or not abused. Not
right. Well, just the idea of, like I said, substantive due process. This idea that every single right, they're so inherent, there's no due process that can deal with them. That's not true. In the Fifth Amendment, your right to property, that's not a substantive due process. You can have due process.
Is it charter property?
In a sense, yeah. I mean, think about it. You're their agent, you're their guardian.
So would that count, so would an abortion count as you getting rid of your property? I know that's a really fucked up the way to look at it, kind of, but.
No.
Because it's like, the same thing as like getting rid of like a dog.
So I guess your child is your property. It's not like chattel. Even though the child don't have rights, not really. Children don't
they,
have.
They don't have rights.
They don't have extensive rights.
Do they? Again, that's good. It comes to the point of, does something that's not yet born yet have rights? Or even the same rights as someone that's born yet?
They have rights just by being human. So yeah, I guess you're right. They have. Children do have a right to life in that sense. But that's if you want to make the argument that the federal government should ban abortion, which I don't really want to. Like, I don't see the point in that, because the problem is I don't think this issue was really put in the Constitution, not even the 14th Amendment. I don't think it was decided in there. Yeah. I think that this was meant to be left, something like this was left, meant to be left up to democratic process, and that was the due process for it. And then they stripped it away from the states to make that choice for themselves.
Should teenagers have abortions?
No.
No.
Depends, actually. Will the mother die? No.
No.
Were they raped?
No.
Just two kids who fucked up?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I mean, that's just my opinion. People can hate me for it. Feel free. I don't care.
You're hating for it?
Yeah. I don't.
With a smile? Okay, is that it?
That's essentially it. So let's go ahead and wrap up our main argument. So your main argument for, I guess, the pro-choice or libertarian argument is...
I don't want the states being involved. That's up to the patient, essentially.
My argument is, I think that it was meant to be left up to states' rights. I don't think there's a substantive due process to privacy in this matter. Essentially, this should be something that's left up to the democratic process. States should be able to decide for themselves whether abortion is legal there. And in terms of the pro-life argument, I'm a believer that once you conceive a child, okay, that it has its own DNA, has its own separate entity, even if it's still growing within you, if left to its natural process, it will become a full-fledged child. Even before that, everything makes it a child other than how much physical development it has. Everything else about it is still a child. So I think abortion is wrong, except in cases where it's an extremely difficult matter, such as it'll kill the mother, because then it's two lives. Or rape is one that I'm on the fence on.
Teeter-totter?
Yeah, because like I said, the child that's a product of rape is still a child.
Yeah.
But it's such a low percentage, and that's such a hard position to be in that I don't know if I would be able to say at that point. Like, I don't even think that should be much of an issue. That's just such a low likelihood. But other than those two exceptions, I don't think abortion's right. So in my state, I would vote to ban abortion otherwise.
And in my personal life, I kind of actually don't really like abortion. But yeah. But personally, I'm like, I probably would try to not have abortion or have my partner
let
not
your
have
partner
abortion. Yeah.
Have abortion.
I mean, I would let, if she wants to, it's her fucking thing, but I would probably be on the thing that say no.
I think father's rights should be expanded more on that.
Yeah.
But it's not really fair that, like, if there's a father that's willing to take care of the child will have a fairly good life. Let the mother should be able to say, nah, it's too inconvenient. I'm not doing it.
But it comes down to, am I going to force my partner, my wife or my partner or whatever?
I wouldn't call it force, just you have some rights as a father, too.
For her to have, 6 months of, nine months of pregnancy.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds difficult, but at that point, it's a child that can have a good life. The child has its own right. It shouldn't have had sex.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to take that risk, you shouldn't have sex.
That's another topic for me.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
But yeah.
Overall, though, those are our main arguments.
Yeah.
You can hate us. You can love us. We don't really care too much about the opinions on our political opinions.
No, I really don't. I mean, care? I mean, after this, I'm probably going to drink, so...
Yeah, I mean, feel free to leave your arguments in the comments. Feel free to have a little debate down there. I won't stop you.
It's like and subscribe.
Yep, like, subscribe, hit the notification bell.
Around the channel.
Yep, you're at Probably Political. We got more leftist libertarian speakers like Darren. We got Kayla. We got Katie. We got Sarah. You got more traditional conservatives like me. And this show, like I said before in the episode, typically centers around the court arguments, which is why I gave you the more constitutional argument on this issue, but we also delve into the political arguments on it as well.
Hope you enjoy.
Yep. All right. Have a good Saturday, y'all.